Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, August 9th, 2013, and I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us this afternoon. We're going to be talking about, is there possibly a 1987-style crash coming our way? We're going to be talking about a new gold standard. We're going to be talking about oil rising 106 and many, many other things today. And if you have any questions during the program, you can always call us at 1-800-596-8191. So any questions for the program, go ahead and give us a call. And if you have any questions you'd like to type in, you can do so by doing questions at dgscoins.com. Let's get to the market report today. And let me see where we're at today. Drum roll, please, Al. We have gold up a dollar at $1,314. Not bad. We had a high of 1318 today, but after the strong day yesterday, it was still good to see it in positive territory. You have silver up 24 cents today at $20.59. Platinum was up $8 at $15.05, along with palladium up $2 at $7.44. So silver was the winner of the day, up 1.19%. USDX today is trading slightly higher today, 0.07 at 81.10. Crude oil today, man, did that have a boost? Boost today. That was up 260 at 106. And a lot of talk because China. China was happy today. They came out with some good numbers. So they said, oh, that's why crude oil is up today, because of China. And but your gasoline prices went down a whole penny. But I would expect if crude oil is up 260 today, that penny will come back next week. So nothing to get too excited about, though, folks. Let's go ahead and get to the equities today, the paper markets today. The Dow was down 72 points today at 15,425. Actually, for the week, they lost about 1% on the week. You have the NASDAQ down 10 points at 36.60, with the S&P down 6 at 16.91. 10-year yield, that's just hanging out at that 260 level, 2.58. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. TGIF.
TGIF.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw a report by Mark Faber, the gloom, doom.
Gloom, boom, and doom.
Gloom, boom, and doom.
I don't remember if it's gloom, boom, and doom, or doom, boom, and...
Mr. Doom. But they do call him Mr. Doom. What he's saying, though, he said that the S&P has rallied about 19% in 2013. And, of course, that is, you know, somewhat impressive.
Yep.
But the market did far better in 1987. The stocks had actually added about 30% from the beginning of the year to August 8th. So you're kind of wondering, well, what's the problem? It was 30% there and 19% today. He says, what he says, the market ended up tanking in the second half of that year, dropping 36% before closing out 1987, nearly exactly where it began. He says, in 1987, we had a very powerful rally. He says, but the earnings were no longer rising substantially, and the market became overbought. The final rally into August 25th occurred with a diminishing number of stocks hitting 52-week highs. In other words, the new high list was contracting, and we have several breaks in different stocks. He says, and if you look at the last 2 days, and he was referring to Tuesday and Wednesday, he says, we are closing to all-time high at 1709 on the S&P, and yet yesterday, which was Wednesday, there were 170 new 50-week lows. He says that's a very high figure. And he goes on to say that there's about the only way this market can go up is if the 10 or 50 stocks that are very strong continue to drive the market higher, with the majority of the stocks having actually peaked out. And today, one of the headline stocks was Priceline. It came close to crossing over 1,000. I don't know where it closed at, but it did come close to closing over 1,000, and that's the first time a stock had done that on the S&P. So, again, an example of one stock. And even the Dow, you have 30 stocks. So it really is a misrepresentation of what the complete sectors are doing, what the separate groups are doing. But he expects perhaps a 20% decline going into the end of August, to the end of the year.
All right, so what's that likely to have, what's that likely to do relative to the price of gold?
Well, you know, you can always have initial knee-jerk reactions, but what I like today about gold is you had a higher dollar, and you had the Dow Jones that was lower, the NASDAQ that was lower, and we did manage to eke out a positive in gold today. So usually and on a Friday, that might have had an opposite effect. So it should, you get some high-pressure numbers moving on the exchanges, and you definitely will see some higher prices in gold.
All right, so we'll see higher prices in gold. He's anticipating, Faber is predicting that the market is going to perhaps rise a little bit more, and then it's going to drop significantly in the second half of the year. Mm-hmm. The paper, the equities market. So the question then becomes, what is, will people move from paper and flee to gold?
Well, I think gold has always been there as that safe haven. I think lots of times you have initial reactions where people just do something immediately without thinking. You're going to have a certain
percentage.
It's kind
of like voting. Is that what you mean? It's kind of like presidential elections.
Yes.
Voting without thinking, and then later on they think,
wow,
you know, I probably shouldn't have done that. That was probably wasn't my best choice. But, yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's a little bit different than voting because you can still make a change. And so you'll have a certain group of people still go into bonds as a safe haven. But ultimately, those who really understand what's going on, yes, they will be moving into gold. So,
well, I don't know.
Gold is still the safe haven. And people always expect gold to react immediately to something. And sometimes it's sluggish in the reaction to maybe something negative, like, if the stock market dropped 200 points, maybe, or 500 points, maybe you wouldn't get an immediate uptick in gold. It might take a day or two. So just because that happened, you look to the long-term fundamentals and all the uncertainty that we have, and the illusions have never been greater.
Yeah, and plus the manipulation. When we talk about gold being sluggish, you know, we live at a time when it's pretty much a consensus that the price of gold has been manipulated, artificially suppressed. So you can't count on its reactions. You can't count on honest reactions at any given moment. Nevertheless, you know, long term, gold is up from $20 an ounce back in 1933 on up to $1,300 and change today. It's up, what, from $35 an ounce in 1971 to $13-14 today. The trend is obvious and undeniable, although we wind up getting it. We've had 2 years of a downstroke here, the best part of 2 years for a downstroke. People call it a correction. Some people call it a manipulation. But the fundamental force since 1971, which is, what, a little over 71, we are talking a little over 40 years ago, 42, 43 years ago. Gold is up from $35 an ounce to $1,315 an ounce. That's a trend, 40 years, right? And we talk about bull markets. People say, and they calculate, that bull markets go on for 10, 12, 15 years, whatever. Gold is not in a bull market in the sense that people think of commodities, for example, or stocks or whatever that goes on, again, 12, 15 years. That's not what's going on here. Gold is in an absolute reaction to the fact that the paper dollar has to become worth less virtually every year. Now, it's strengthened in the last 2 years for reasons that are, you know, debatable, unclear, whatever, but long-term paper has to go down. It must go down. And when it does, gold must go up. And therefore, the trend line from $35 an ounce to $1,300 an ounce over the course of the last 42, 43 years, this is something other than a bull market. It's an absolute reaction to the fact that the fiat currency is a fraud. And over time, more and more people catch on to that fact. And as they do, more and more people buy gold. Now, even now, it's only a small percentage of people, a tiny percentage of people that are buying gold. 1% maybe, something like that. And the rest, the other 99%, are sitting back and perhaps thinking that gold is silly. But look at that trend line, despite the last 20 months downstroke. Gold is up from $35 an ounce to $1,300 an ounce in a little over 40 years. And there is nothing to suggest that that fundamental increase will not continue on into the foreseeable future as long as we have a paper-backed, a paper dollar, a debt-based monetary system. As long as that's true, gold's going up. Bet on it. It's going to go up, and then it's going to go up, and it's going to continue going up until they create a new currency system that will almost certainly be backed by gold, at least in part. And when they do, they'll have to set the price of gold at something remarkable. What will they set the price of gold at? $2,000 an ounce? Not a chance. $3,000? Uh-uh. $5,000? I don't think that's anywhere near enough. They're going to have to set the price of gold somewhere in the neighborhood of, who knows, $10,000, $20,000, some people guesstimate $50,000 an ounce if they move back to a gold-based monetary system. And will they move back? Will they be forced to abandon paper currency? Will the fraud finally become so outrageous, so overt, and so offensive that people begin to flee the dollar in the same sense that people in, what was it, Uganda? Wasn't Uganda. Who had all the inflation in Africa? Hyperinflation. Zimbabwe. They were fleeing the Zimbabwean dollar, and the dollar was moving by several hundred percent, losing several hundred. I mean, it was becoming incredible hyperinflation on a daily and hourly basis taking place as people fleed from that currency, but they still continued to use it. Huh? It's, you know, people will use whatever they have to use. in order to get by. And if we have to use paper dollars, we'll use paper dollars. If we have to use corn cobs, we'll use corn cobs. We'll use whatever works. But some things work better than others. Paper dollars probably work better than corn cobs, and gold works better than paper dollars. So I'd point to anyone. This is not, people talk about, is the gold bull market over? No, it's not even a conventional bull market. It is a reaction to a fiat currency, and the reaction will continue as long as the fiat currency continues. And the only way they're going to get away from that fiat currency, in my opinion, is they're going to have to go to a gold-based currency. And when they do, they'll have to set the price of gold dramatically higher than what it is right now. So,
I got something interesting here, Al. It's the Postal Service. They came out today, said Friday, that it trimmed some of its losses. But, I mean, still to date, the post office had losses totaled $3.9 billion. And, you know, they're still looking for help from Congress for their to help them with their financial woes. But what I find interesting, I didn't know this before, maybe you have and so forth, but the agency's chief financial officer, Joe Corbett, he said in a statement that without comprehensive postal reform legislation signed into law, their hands are tied, and we expect the multi-billion-dollar annual losses to continue. Yep. But he says they're looking to reduce its congressionally mandated $5.6 billion annual payment for future retiree benefits. Back in 2006, congressional requirement, they had to make advance payments to cover expected health care costs for future retirees for 75 years in advance, something that no federal agency does. And the agency expects to miss the $5.6 billion health care payment next month, and at the end of its fiscal year, it defaulted on two similar payments last year. The pre-funding requirement for the future retirees' health benefit accounts for the brunt of their red ink.
Yeah.
Why have they been signaled out to pay for 75 years in advance? And then Congress comes back and says, well, we're coming up with two plans to help you. Now, they've already said that that's the brunt of their problems, is paying 75 years in advance. And maybe every federal agency should have to pay that, and every corporation should have to pay that far in advance. So Congress comes out and says, well, we're going to help you. So we're looking to put a two-year moratorium on closing mail processing plants, and maybe we would let you close end delivery for Saturdays. I mean, that's their answer.
Well, one of the points is we're talking about pensions. And we wrote an article in last week's American Survival, points out that the pension system, the government pension system, is going to be one of the first things to be brutalized in the current economy. We can't afford all these pensions. Plus, the people who are on the pensions no longer have much political clout. If you are a retiree, you're not going to strike. You can't strike because you're not going to work in the first place. Most retirees are too old to go out and demonstrate out in the streets. They don't have much political clout, and they've got lots of money stacked away one place or another. They don't have it in their personal control, but it's in the control of the pension funds. And from the government's perspective, that means these pension funds are ripe to be looted. What you're talking about, in part, they are the idea that we would cause the post office to prepay its pensions by 75 years, essentially fund their pensions 75 years in advance, is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Who even imagines that a dollar would be worth a dime in 75 years? Today's dollar. It'll lose 90% of its value, assuming there even have dollars. The whole thing is just a setup where the post office can be robbed by the government. And we can talk more about this when we return. Take a couple of commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody, kind of special do you have for folks today?
Yes, we'd like to carry through today the three-coin special, the one-ounce gold Buffalo Indian coin, the Mint State 61 $10 Indian coin, which is my favorite coin, and the Mint State 61 $5 Indian. And when I say the $10 Indian is my favorite coin, it's my favorite design. For small fractional pieces, I do love the $5 Liberty and the $5 Indian, but for the design, I think the design for the $10 Indian is so simple, and the color of the gold, it's just beautiful. So you receive three coins. It includes your shipping costs, and we're also throwing in a Morgan silver dollar, free of charge with free shipping for $2,900. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
All right, we're talking about the post office before we stop for commercial announcements, and why the government might be insisting that the post office squirrel away enough money to fund its pensions 75 years in advance, which is just ridiculous. I mean, the dollar has lost it in terms of value compared to gold. Dollar has lost 97-98% of its value in the last 40 years. It'll do it again. The idea of saving paper dollars today that you're going to use 75 years from now is just flat out self-destructive. It's stupid. There's no way that a dollar 75 years from now is going to have anywhere near the purchasing power that a dollar has today. It's going to continue to decline in purchasing power more dramatically than you'll be able to compensate. You won't be able to compensate for that decline in purchasing power with interest rates, for example. You're going to lose your assets. Why does government want the post office to squirrel away enough money to fund their retirement for 75 years in advance? And the answer is the same reason that Willie Sutton used to rob banks, because that's where all the money was. And the government likes to rob pension funds, and that's exactly what they're going to do. And some people, they're going to do that. They're going to rob the post office pension fund. People sit back and say, oh, that's crazy talk. That's radical. That's it. No, it's not. What has happened to Social Security throughout your lifetime and mine? And the answer is the money that you've contributed to Social Security has been borrowed by the federal government and replaced by a genuine bond, and the Social Security Administration reportedly has rows of filing cabinets filled with government promises to repay the money they got out of Social Security. You were putting money into Social Security thinking they were keeping it in a special account with your name on it. And the truth is, the federal government was spending that money as fast as it came in the door. And they replaced it with Social Security with pieces of paper that are nothing but IOUs, promises to pay. And here we are in a time when there's more promises to pay than could ever be repaid. And the point is, government has been systematically looting Social Security throughout your lifetime and mine. This isn't a recent phenomena. Government is going to steal the pension funds. They will steal them if only by means of inflation or hyperinflation, so the government can borrow money and repay it to the pension funds with cheaper dollars, and thereby rob the creditors. And who are the creditors? It's all you folks who paid into Social Security. Your government has been robbing you. It's not an accident. It's not a misunderstanding. It's not a recent phenomenon. That's what they do. That's what they intended to do. That's what they still intend to do. So what they've done to Social Security, I anticipate they will also do to the post office. So if you're putting your money in there and you're thinking that the government's going to protect your pension, your thinking is flawed. This is not to say that the government absolutely will not deliver on your pension. They probably will, but they'll only do so by taxing your children and your grandchildren so badly that they'll never be able to move out of the house. You're going to have your pension. All right. You're also going to have your children and your grandchildren and maybe even your great-grandchildren living at home with you. Now, maybe that's a blessing and maybe it's a lot of noise. It depends on the family. But, you know, the government is not here to help you. It's not here to help me. The government is here to help itself, and that's what it does every time. I've got an article here that illustrates that.
I just have one comment. We got a comment in from Bob. He says, Melanie, he says, you are very correct about the post office. What does it hurt stopping Saturday deliveries? It doesn't really hurt stopping Saturday deliveries. I mean, they talk about that that it'll hurt small businesses along with the rural residents. Most of your rural people don't, you know, they have post offices, and I don't think one day is going to kill them. So, if it's medications for the elderly, they can, maybe they'll have to start overnighting medications. But so, I mean, I don't even see that as an issue. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that in, Bob from Iowa.
Okay. We've got an article here, Georgetown offers model for fixing cities. And this is to some degree relevant to the post office, right? It is certainly relevant to a study by a couple of economists that we've reported on a number of times on the program, came out in the last 3 weeks or thereabouts, that they calculate that because of the cumulative effect of government regulation, degrades the economy by about 2% per year. And over time, if we had the same level of government regulation today as we had in 1949, they calculate that the average or the median home income in this country, instead of being $53,000 a year, which is what it is right now, it would be over $300,000. And the implication is clear and enormous that government is weighing us down. We are being destroyed by our own government. And every time things get worse, people's first reaction is, well, we need more regulation. We need more help from government. It's like the post office. Oh, we got to have more help from government. What you got to have is get government off your back. And here's a story from Georgia. It says, Detroit and Chicago and the Georgia town offers model for fixing cities, and it parallels this argument that what you need if you want to stimulate the economy is not more government, you need less. More government is destroying us. And again, here's the article. Detroit and Chicago certainly are not the only big cities in dire financial straits. Oh, there's big cities around, and the problem is too much debt and too generous public pensions. That's their point. Pensions are going to be brutalized in the future. We're going to start, the government pensions will be among the first to take it in the neck, but then we'll go to Social Security, which is half government, half private, and then we will go to private pensions. Those of you who are relying on your pensions are taking some considerable risk. The article continues. But a small town in Georgia has developed what could serve as a model for municipal government to provide services to citizens at a cost they actually can afford. Services to citizens at a cost they actually can afford. Oliver Porter, a lecturer and consultant with an engineering background and apostle of free market economics and first interim city manager for Sandy Springs, Georgia, explained how it was done. They had an economist that worked with them. And the city outsourced almost everything. Prior to outsourcing, Sandy Springs was part of an unincorporated Fulton County, and residents were poorly policed while paying high taxes for few services. However, 8 years later, the city of 100,000 people boasts new roads, more neighborhood sidewalks, a state-of-the-art traffic system, and award-winning parks. All of it has occurred with no tax increases, even as major capital improvements have been funded. How did they do this? They outsourced almost everything. What do they mean by that, Melody?
Why don't you tell us?
It means they essentially didn't hire government employees. They did everything by contract. Instead of having the government come in and take care of your utilities or take care of the garbage collection or take care of street cleaning or whatever it was that government normally does at the local level, instead of hiring full-time employees to goof off while they allegedly worked, right? They instead hired private employees with contracts. Huh? And they contracted that in some of the contracts, if you wanted government, if you wanted a job from Sandy Springs, Georgia, you had to agree, you take a private contract, there would be someone there to answer the phones 24/7. All right? That was part of the deal. You had to agree that if there was a problem, they would resolve the problem within 48 hours. And the people who wanted the business, they agreed to these terms. And the result is they're making money. They are acting in a way that is efficient. Costs are minimal. Services are high. And the people in Sandy Springs, Georgia, are doing well because they are not being consumed by a governmental parasite fastened to their neck like Dracula. And claiming we need more money, we need more money. You know, classic example of this are schools. Anytime we talk about what a lousy public school system we have in this country, the people who work that system will say, well, if you just give us more money, then we could do a good job. It's a bunch of crapola. I guarantee that there are people in every neighborhood in the country, including some of the poorest and most run-down neighborhoods, there's somebody there who really likes knowledge, who is really capable of educating. He may not have a degree. She may not be an accredited teacher, but she's capable and cares about educating children. And if you would deliver your children to her in that local community, in that square, in that city block, she could conduct school in her living room with a dozen children in there. And they would get a better education at lower cost than what we're getting from public education today. And the difference would be this person actually cares about educating children as opposed to modern education, which is run by a bunch of bureaucrats who care about more power and more money and a better pension system for themselves. And the net result is government is destroying this nation. And it comes across as if they're here to help us, and they keep trying to push that idea, and too many people believe it and accept it, and it's simply not true. Again, the study by the economists indicates it's not true. We have evidence it's not true. The story from Sandy Springs, Georgia, where they outsourced virtually all of the city government services. It's telling us that government is overpaid, inefficient, and contrary to the best interests of the American people. And if you want to stimulate this economy, if the government, for example, if the people in Washington, D.C. want to stimulate the economy, first thing they do, cut the size of government. Instead, government has been growing in size and in terms of the number of people working for not just government, I speak about government at the local, state, and federal level, growing in terms of the percentage of people in the country, in the economy, who have government jobs. It's growing. What else? What other effect can we have other than increased poverty for the balance of the people who don't work for the government? There's no other solution. Government doesn't help. Government hurts. You want to stimulate the economy, get rid of part of the government. You can't get rid of all of it, but you can get rid of a lot of it. And get rid of the mindset that somehow government is here to help us. They're going to rob your pensions. They're going to rob you, all right? And they've been doing it throughout your lifetime and mine. You look at Social Security. Where's the money? Government's already looted Social Security, and they left an IOU behind, and here they are at a time when they can't pay the national debt. One way or another, that Social Security is not going to be paid in full. It's not going to happen. Government has known this from the beginning. Government has intended to rob you all along. Government has been robbing you. Government will continue to rob you. And they get away with it because most people are unwilling to face fundamental truths that are right there if you care to look at them. We don't want to believe that the government's a bunch of bad guys. I mean, and I'm not even sure that that's an accurate description, that government's a bunch of bad guys, but the government still does, by and large, bad things. I don't care if it's a bunch of good people that behave in a way that's idiotic. I don't care if the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The road to bigger government is paved with good intentions. But good intentions are not enough. Somebody's got to deliver. And the government doesn't. It doesn't deliver. Instead, it takes and it takes and it's going to take some more. And every time we see a solution, every time we see a problem, the solution is more government, bigger government, more regulation, a bigger police state. And all that's actually happening is we are being strangled, ruined, and destroyed by our own government. Let's take a break for some more commercials. I'm Alfred Attisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners of the special, $2,900 for a three-coin special, a one-ounce gold buffalo 2013 coin, and Mint State 61 $10 Indian, and Mint State 61 $5 Indian. It's the Indian head special. And for $2,900, it includes free shipping and a Morgan silver dollar. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And make sure you sign up at the website, dgscoins.com, for the weekly newsletter. And it usually comes out Monday, sometime during the day on Monday, depending on how busy we are, and we can get it done. And but you just
whether Mercury is in retrograde.
There you go. Yeah.
We respond to the same economic forces as drives the federal government, and that means things are sometimes a little imprecise. What else, Melody?
Well, we got a couple of questions coming in. I don't know which one. The one was, is there any way we can expand on the discussion with the Detroit bail-in? The template, fleecing the pensioners to save the banks, and
it's the same thing we're seeing around the world. Governments, what we're seeing is not just a question of the United States government. We're looking at government in general around the world. You know, again, I harp on this on a pretty regular basis, but George Washington's comparison to government. A comparison of government to fire. He said, government like fire is a dangerous servant or a fearful master. Again, the best you get from government is a dangerous servant. And if you are dumb enough to trust your government, it will morph into a fearful master. You're crazy if you trust the government. And I'm not just talking about the American government. I'm talking about government in general. What do you think destroyed the Soviet Union, if not the government of the Soviet Union, and plunged the people of Russia and who knows, Georgia and all of the other, I don't remember, 18, 28, I don't remember how many nations comprised the former Soviet Union. It disintegrated into independent nations, and many of them went into periods of profound economic depression that resulted in widespread violence, gangs, looting. And this all flowed from an insane belief that government is the solution rather than the problem. Well, you know, Reagan pointed that out years ago, yeah. And we, government's not the solution, government's the problem, and we all cheered, and we all forgot. It's not just a little statement that you can make and everybody, yay, let's clap our hands. No, it's a warning, it's a statement of truth that you have to cling to if you want to hold this country together.
Al, I think we get that, we understand that, but what I think people don't connect to is that they work for corporations, they work for other businesses that have their pension plans, they have their 401s, they have their IRAs, they have maybe some other programs that they are saving, their retirement plans, and they are affected. I mean, you just can't say, and I don't mean you, but people can't rely on the fact that it's coming from Washington. Well, I work for so-and-so, and you know, they're just talking about, you know, what happens in Washington and so forth. It will affect every pension plan, every IRA, every savings account that people have. And I think we live in this time. I mean, yeah, you can go back and say, hey, look what happened to Russia. Look what happened to Argentina. Look what happened to the people in Cyprus. They're still living. They're still going on with their lives. But look how many people they hurt so other people can continue their lives. People lost not only their lives in some areas, but they've lost a lot of funds, a lot of their money that they have worked so far, so hard, and they saved. They lived a responsible life. They didn't go into debt. They didn't buy things on paper. They saved. They put things and they trusted these banks, and then they end up losing 60%.
Yeah.
And you can't say that it can't happen here. It very well can happen here.
And, well, it is happening. It's been happening.
It is.
How did the value of the dollar lose 97% of its value in the last 40 years or so? It's not a little mistake. It's not just, gee, how did that happen? It's not an aberration. That's what government does. They cause inflation. They want inflation so they can rob you and me and everyone who's dumb enough to put their money somewhere where the government can lay hands on it. It's organized theft. It's a racket. And it's not that I don't take any pleasure in saying that. It makes me wince to say it. I would much prefer to live in a world where I actually believed that the government was doing the right thing for this country and the government gave a damn about the middle class and the average Americans. But I see no evidence to support that contention. Government serves itself. Government serves special interests that pay government a lot of money. And I don't mean in the form of taxes, although that's part of it. They're just not doing what's right for the American people. It's not an aberration. It's what government does. And the point to this, we're talking about bail-ins that may be used against the people of Detroit to try to fund what? The government of Detroit. If the people of Detroit want to do something for themselves, it seems, I don't know, it's hard to believe, but they're going to have to get rid of the government they have. And they're going to be reluctant to do that because the relationship between the people and their government is usually symbiotic. You can't have an idiotic and corrupt government without having an idiotic and corrupt people. If you want to get rid of a corrupt, incompetent government, the first thing you do is get the incompetence and corruption out of your own heart. You know, better government starts right there in the seat you folks are sitting in right now. You got to up your own game. You've got to sit back and say, no, wait, I'm going to begin to behave as a moral individual. I'm going to begin to do what's right, not just what is profitable for me, Short term, right now, what can I grab? What's for me? Belly up to the trough and get all. I'm going to do what I think is really right for the American people, for my neighbor as much as myself. You're going to have to embrace that mentality. And to the extent you do, not everyone will. Not everyone will embrace that mentality 100%. But insofar as we move back into that mortality, we're going to ultimately compel government to do the same. You're not going to have a good government in Detroit until you have a people, until you have a moral people of Detroit. All right. As long as they laugh and cheer at the gangsters and thugs that they routinely appoint to public office, guess what? They're going to be robbed. The whole thing is so bizarre. We put up with this crap from government, and I know people that are friends of mine that they see government corruption and they just laugh about it. They even applaud it. From their perspective, I won't even say they're friends, but they're acquaintances. From their perspective, if you can make it, if you can get it any way you can get it, why not? Get yours. To heck with everybody else. And that's exactly the mentality that is ruining this country. And those of us who embrace that mentality don't get it. If you're going to cheer the thieves in public office, and they'll just laugh and wink when they behave like a bunch of damn gangsters, thugs, and morons. You want to just laugh about that? Well, guess what? Your name is on their list. If you think you're going to get an exemption from being robbed by the government because you laugh at the crooks and the gangsters and the thugs, you just laugh about it, cheer about it. Guess what? Your name's on the list. You may not have been robbed yet, but your day is coming. And when it does, you're going to sit back and say, oh, but wait. I thought I was on the inside. I laughed about government corruption. I was one of the guys. You were never one of the guys. You're never on the inside. Not most of you, the vast majority. You're just fool enough to allow these gangsters to predate. It has to be stopped, and it requires that we take action to change ourselves, to stand up in public, to resist.
I think a lot of the listeners probably aren't in that category. Unfortunately, we do have a segment of the population who do not become involved in their local politics. I believe things need to change at local politics, at local levels. I think that's where you can make changes quicker, where you can actually see changes and you can actually be involved in making those changes. And I think that's where the change has to come. And it's a slow process. Things don't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. But the whole point when we talk about this, Al, is to people need to understand that, you know, you talked about if you think that you're one of them. Well, Wall Street's the same. You know, you're not part of Wall Street. Wall Street is its own beast, so to speak. And someone told me one time, he says, well, if you want to make money, you have to play their game. And it's like, no, I don't want to play their game, because if I personally believe that Wall Street is part of the beast, so to speak, I believe they've taken the funds from people. I believe they're the bank of the elitist in order to destroy this country, and we continue to send our money to Wall Street, and they continue to use it against us, along in with their partners with Washington. Wall Street controls Washington. So it's a system that has so much corruption that I believe it's going to play out, and we do what we can do, but number one, we have to protect ourselves.
I agree.
We have to
It starts at home. It starts with the guy sitting in your chair right now. That's where you start.
I mean, that's why this is called financial survival. And sure, I know 95, well, probably not 95% of the listeners, but many of you listeners. I mean, I you know, you're heavily invested in paper, and that's fine. That's your choice. However, get it protected. Have a balance of your investments. Have that insurance policy. Have your insurance policy for your investments, and of course, that's gold and silver. Mm-hmm. And
the other point is part of a mentality. It's not a recommendation to become paranoid per se, but you have to recognize that people in positions of power that are encouraging you to trust them are unworthy of your trust. And ultimately, it compels you to consider the idea that the person you can most trust, or you should be able to most to trust the highest, should be yourself. That's assuming that you're knowledgeable, that you have sufficient courage to confront the truth. But if you have eyes to see, you have ears to hear, then you are the guy you should be trusting in your life. I'm not saying you should distrust everyone else. I'm not saying you go into a mode where you're just paranoid about everyone else. But I am saying you have to learn not to rely on others and say, oh, Congressman Schmidt is going to ensure that I have a pension plan that funds my old age. Congressman Schmidt is going to ensure that Congressman Schmidt has a pension plan that supports him in his old age.
And we've seen this with Obamacare.
Every time you turn around.
They get to keep their... They don't want the Obamacare.
No.
They get
they
to
want
keep
to be
their,
exempted from it.
They are exempt.
Yeah, I know.
So
we the chumps, we are subjected to Obamacare, while the government itself, or Congress at least, and its staff, they exempt themselves.
They exempt.
You know. Now, you know, what kind of nuttiness is this? And you can't just sit back and laugh. We're all tempted to. I know sometimes it's like being a mortician.
I do, Al. It's like, you've got
to
be.
I do, too. I laugh about it from time to time. But, in fact, we have to take it seriously, and we can't just laugh. Someone has to be held accountable. And at the point, and the first thing, I have to hold myself accountable. And then I'm going to start holding other people accountable. You know, work on others ultimately. But first, you got to get you straighten out your own act.
We don't mean this to be, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, this isn't a rant against the government program. It's to help you understand the problems that we're having. And it is being generated from Washington, from Wall Street, from the banks.
But also from our own tendency to trust these people to do what's right for us, despite evidence after evidence after
There's
evidence.
Probably a lot.
They are not doing what's
those
best for
that
American
trust
people.
Really probably don't have anything. I mean, look at where the
well, I agree with
look
that.
At the programs are coming from and who they're helping. Most of those folks, they're not listening to programs like this. So
well, I'll tell you what, if they want to listen to programs like this, they're going to have to wait until next Monday when we return, because we're out of time, Melody.
Already?
I want to thank all you folks already. I want to thank all you folks for listening. We will be back next Monday. Have a good weekend. Meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Single penny left for me. Last year,